You'd like to turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The church is going to observe the Lord's Supper this evening, and we're going to look at some information on the Lord's Supper. First of all, in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." And by the way, as we are looking at this, they were baptized. Who baptized them? His New Testament church. This is who this is to. His New Testament church. Because the authority for baptism comes through that church, which is his body, of which he is the head. And that's the way that heaven's baptism is administered, is through and by the authority of a scriptural New Testament church. And by the way, not all churches are scriptural New Testament churches. It depends on where they came from and what they preach, teach, and practice. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." This ought to tell us that when one gets baptized, he's baptized for the purpose of being added to a New Testament church. Not just to be baptized and turned loose, but to be baptized and be added to a New Testament church. "They that gladly received his word were baptized," those that got saved, "and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls," unto them, the church. They were added to the church, about 3,000 souls. When they get added, they got added when they met the requirements of church membership. That's salvation by grace through faith, scriptural baptism in the hands of a New Testament church, and then the Lord is, they're qualified to be added to his body, a New Testament church. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," that's the word of God, all scripture that's given by inspiration, "and fellowship." They continued in the word of God and fellowship. What's fellowship based on? The word of God. How can two walk together except to be agreed? How can you have fellowship except on the basis of the word of God, the basis of truth? "And in breaking of bread," well, the only breaking of bread done in a worship service of a New Testament church, the Lord's Supper. Nothing else is to be partook of in that manner inside of the worship service of a New Testament church. "And in prayers." Now, Bible teaching concerning the Lord's Supper, it was instituted by the Lord. Look at Matthew 26, Matthew chapter 26, and beginning with verse number 26, Matthew 26 and verse 26, "And as they were eating," who's they? His church. Where were they? They were assembled together to observe the Passover. And during that Passover, or at the end of that Passover, is when he instituted the Lord's Supper. The Passover for Israel was to remind them of their deliverance from bondage in Egypt. The Lord's Supper is to remind us of our deliverance from the bondage of sin. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Who's he going to drink it new with? He's going to drink it new with those faithful members of a New Testament church. It's called his bride, I believe. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So we see that Jesus instituted and he instituted and placed it in his New Testament church. And then it was given to the churches that descended from that New Testament church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse number 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. All right. Who's he talking to? The church of Corinth. Where did the church of Corinth descend from? The church of Jerusalem that Jesus built. Through the church at Antioch. That's the connection. And he makes it clear here. He says to keep the ordinances. Well, the two ordinances in the Lord's church is baptism and the Lord's Supper. All right, and he says to keep those ordinances as he delivered them. As I delivered them to you, to the church, as a church that descended from those the church that Jesus built, we are to keep the ordinances according to the scripture and keep them exactly as he delivered them to the church there when he instituted the supper in the beginning. So, Matthew 28, verse number 20. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. The Bible says, "And teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always," not always, but all the way, "even to the end of the world. Amen." So, to his church and the commission that he gave, they were to teach them to observe all things whatsoever he commanded them. What is that? Teach them to observe the word of God. Teach them to observe baptism as the scriptures present it. Teach them to observe the Lord's Supper as the scriptures present it. Because that's how he delivered it to his church there in the beginning. And so the supper was given to show the Lord's death until he comes. Look at, first of all, look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. More confirmation concerning who he delivered the supper to. This, of course, is a quote from the prophecy in Psalms, and the supper there in that situation fulfilled that prophecy in the Psalms. Hebrews 2 and verse number 12 says, "Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee." Well, the only place that's recorded, the only place that anyone knows of when Jesus sang was in the Lord's Supper. When they had finished the supper, they sang a hymn and went out. And here he says that he did that in the midst of the church. So who did he institute the supper into? The New Testament church. Is exactly. The supper was given to the church. Wasn't given to all the saved. All the saved, the family of God. All the saved, he didn't give, because not all the saved are faithful to him and following in scriptural baptism and being willing to submit to the discipline of a New Testament church. And so, again, these ordinances are pictorial ordinances, and they were given to show forth the Lord's death until he come, that we might be reminded the death he died was to deliver us again from the bondage of sin. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verses 25 and 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. The Bible says, "For as often as you eat this bread," and by the way, the supper was delivered from one church to another church here by the Apostle Paul. Paul was sent out by the church in Antioch, and he, through the authority that rests in that church, which the authority that rests there is Jesus Christ's authority. He is all authority, okay? But if any man seem to be Wait a minute. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Speaking here concerning the church. And again, the supper was delivered to the church. Paul said he delivered it to him as he received it of the Lord. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And so we find that the supper was given to show forth the Lord's death till he comes, to remind suffering and sacrifice that he made to deliver us from the bondage of sin. The supper is restricted as to purpose. The 26th verse here says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. You show forth the Lord's death till he comes. You know, there's old Baptist churches in the hills of Kentucky where I'm from. They have the Lord's Supper, and they have one other add on to that, the Lord's Supper, foot washing, and I don't see that anywhere in the scripture that foot washing is an ordinance like the Lord's Supper. But anyway, they would dismiss everybody except the church members from the service. Well, is that keeping with what the Bible says? When you observe that supper, church, you're showing forth the Lord's death till he come. And if people, outsiders, are in that service, that's who you need to show forth that death to. And so for visitors in the services to just go ahead and leave during the Lord's Supper, that keeps the church from being able to show forth his death. Except when they take the supper, we're showing it forth to one another, establishing and strengthening our faith in the fact that he died, was buried, and rose again for our justification. It's restricted to baptized believers, Acts 2:41-42. Those that gladly received his word, they were baptized and then added to the church. And they were added to the church, and it's restricted to the discipline of the church. Therefore, none but local members can partake of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, communion as it's called, is not open. It is closed to those who are not willing to submit to the order that God established in order for one to be a partaker, and that is to be saved, scripturally baptized, and added to a local New Testament church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." In other words, the supper is restricted to those that are found without sin, to a point to where that they should be excluded from the membership of the church. And so it's also restricted to the fellowship of the church. They continued in 241 and 42 in fellowship and prayer and so forth and so on. It's restricted to a self-examination. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 28, 1 Corinthians 11 and 28 says, "But let a man examine himself." Now, wait a minute. Religion grabs onto this and says, it says, let a man. Who's it talking to? The local church at Corinth. This man? He's a member of that local church. Because God made it plain, those that are in the membership, you can judge. If they're not in the membership, God will judge them. We put them out, then God will judge them. We have no right to examine or to judge, but we're to only give the supper to those that are in the membership so that we have the right to judge them. But let a man examine himself. That's a member of the church, man, woman, young person, as long as they're a member of the church. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, I know that's a shocking thing to Christianity, so-called, and religion today, because it's just open to anybody and everybody, and they can observe it anyway. I listened to the radio one time years ago, going south on the freeway, and somebody was out on the coast, and they were talking about how they were observing the Lord's Supper with soda crackers and Pepsi Cola. That's a mockery. That's absolutely a mockery, no question about it. Listen, the supper was placed in the church. The church is responsible for keeping it exactly as he delivered it originally to his church, following the scripture and the examples and teachings that set forth concerning it. It's restricted to a united church, 1 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse number 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, and into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. It is restricted to a coming together of a church that's united. There's not any divisions or heresies or other things in their midst. If there is, then they're supposed to put them out. All right, they're to examine. The individual is to examine himself, but then the church is to examine herself as well and her membership as such. Look at 1 Corinthians 5, 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 says, for what have I to do? To judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? That's within the membership of the church. God judges those without. We don't have a right to judge them. But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. It's restricted to the elements. Matthew 26 and verse number 29. Matthew 26 and verse number 29. Bible says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. All right, where were they? They were gathered together. They were observing the Passover. And then the Passover, for a whole week, there's no leaven in the house. There's no leaven. Leaven represents sin in the scripture. And so there's no leaven to be there. And so what they used in the Passover was unleavened bread. Why is that? Because it represents the body of Jesus Christ. And his body had no sin in it. So to use something with leaven in it, then to represent Christ's body as having sin. And so they used unleavened bread, not soda crackers. Not wafers, unleavened bread. That's the facts of the matter. And so he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink, eat, or drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine. Fruit of the vine. Does the vine produce alcohol? No. The fruit of the vine is the juice. It's derived strictly from the vine. Where did Jesus receive his blood? Strictly from the Father. His blood was pure. There was no sin. So he says, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, everywhere he talks about the Lord's Supper, it's the fruit of the vine. I wonder why he said that. Because he does not want anything used except that pure grape juice and representing his shed blood. Because if his blood had sin, then it could not save. It could not cover. It would be exposed and revealed. But his blood was sinless. And so therefore, we have to represent it by the pure juice of the grape, which is derived from the vine. That's why he used this wording, the fruit of the vine. He didn't say wine. He said the fruit of the vine. So you can twist it around, argue all you want to, but what you need to do is just listen to what it says. Did it say wine? No. Did it say juice? No. But it did say the fruit of the vine. What do you get from the vine? Use it up here. You get juice. You can argue with it all you want to, but when you do, you're arguing with God and what he set forth. It's restricted to the elements. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. No, it's not the right verses of scripture. Let's skip that. It's restricted to the coming together of the church. 1 Corinthians, the 18th chapter. And by the way, Mission Works observing the Lord's Supper is unscriptural. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 18 and 20. All right, for first of all, when you come together in the church, so where's the supper? He placed it in the church. The coming together of the church, the assembly that comes together to worship the Lord. I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Verse 20, when you come together, therefore, unto one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. When you come together in one place. Come together in one place. That's the appointed place and time for the assembly together of the church for a worship service. No way that you can get around it. Acts 22 and verse 7, I believe. Acts chapter 22. No, it's Acts 20, I think. All right, verse 7 of Acts chapter 20 says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. They came together to break bread. Again, there's no partaking of except the Lord's Supper in the worship service of a New Testament church. The church here, as Paul and the brethren stopped by, they were together to observe the Lord's Supper, or to take bread or break bread. At any rate, It was at of the assembling together in one place. All right, the privilege is open to all who meet the conditions imposed by God. The supper is closed to those who have no scriptural right to eat of it. Look at Hebrews 13 and verse number 10. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 10. The Bible says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. He's talking about the church. These are the scattered abroad members of the church at Jerusalem that the book of Hebrews is written to. And he says, as church members, you have a right. Those Hebrews that haven't been saved and baptized and united with the church, they don't have a right. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat. Again, only eating done at worship service, New Testament church, the Lord's Supper, which serve the tabernacle. Those that still want to stay under the law, those still trying to serve under the tabernacle, they had no right. The only right was given to a scriptural New Testament church. And only they have the right to observe the supper. And they have the right to determine who that the supper can be served to as well. Let's stand. As we do, let's look to the Lord in prayer.